chapter 5, there's a part when they're talking about the drafts. And, like, in the beginning, he has a graph that's, like, bunched up, and it shows the growth over time in billions of dollars. But then on the next part, they change the proportion of the graph, and then it's like the data's more spread out, so it looks like it's growing more over time, when it's really not. And then the other part, they have, like, the government payrolls going up, and it's like, on one end, it shows how it goes, it skyrockets up from October to December. But then on the other graph, it just shows it like it's going in a steady line. And it only increases a little bit. So it's like they were able to use that to their advantage.
I think it's kind of different from the person's perspective. Because if the reader is only quickly looking through something, they're not completely able to determine or try and falsify the information. So they might believe it. And so with the first one about the government's pay or in like billions of dollars, they can cut off the graph and you can show whatever you want to show, but if the person is looking for something completely accurate, then they won't find what they're looking for. And people cut off graphs so that they don't show the bad, because they only really want to show the good so that you can make a point and sell someone something. Another interesting part is visualization, trying to show two separate outcomes. There's ones about the amount of money that people make, and there's a foreign amount of $30 and American $60, and they illustrated it, and there's a small person with a small bag about the same size as he is. Then there's another one with a bag two times as tall as he is and also two times as wide as he is. So it's different because you're still giving the same impression, but you're making it seem like it's so much more.
It's like exaggerated because they have a bar graph that shows the same thing what the two money bags are supposed to be represented, and the bar graph shows that it is double, and it only shows like that it's two times the size. The bars are two times the size of each other, but on the other end, it's like completely exaggerated with the money bags.
And also, it shows a better visualization that doesn't show too much, like the small one underneath the graph. It shows the people are the same size, but one person has two money bags because the information is twice as much, and the other person has one bag, but on the other hand, it's like, he has like a saw, so I guess it shows that he actually does extra work. And the other one, it's him holding a saw, and he has money in his hand.
Then they had another like visualization graph, which is diminishing rhinoceros, and it said 15-15, they were like, there's a huge rhinoceros, and in 1936, it's very, very small. So it's like, it doesn't show the number, but it definitely does show that there are way more rhinoceros in 1550 than there were in 1936. So I think that's still part of the visualization graphs, even if it's exaggerated, to show like how much more stuff was made in a different time.
It also shows you in the times when they really need rhinoceros. I'm not sure why they're mass producing rhinoceros or if there's any biological effects on it, but it also has something about the cow. I know that now we like have factories and we're mass producing cows in order to eat them. So I understand how there's a lot more. But I'm not sure how there's a lot more for the rhinoceros. One of the parts that also was interesting was the one about semi-attached figure. And they're trying to show something, but they say that the better or the worse the number, the more it shows how something could be better. Like for one, it says that blacks have a good chance as a job as whites, which is, we all know, not true, especially in the time that this book was written. And it says that there's a, 27% larger sample. And it's, like, different because blacks have a lot less percentage of the jobs, but if you show that there's a slight increase, it's a lot better because there'd be a lot less people having a job. And so the little bit of increase would make it seem so much better than nothing. So if you have a bad scenario, then it's better to have something than nothing because it shows that something is happening. It may not be as much.
But basically, all they're doing is using statistics to lie in their favor to make things look better for them.
Just to make something look equal so people can argue about it, but in reality, it's not actually equal. It's still less.
Why this book is called How to Lie with Statistics. This part is really good. It says that more accidents occur in clear weather because there's more clear weather than foggy weather, which is true, but it also says that foggy weather is way more dangerous to driving. So just because it's more dangerous to driving, it doesn't mean it's going to be more accidents, because clear weather occurs more than foggy weather, which is a good statistic.
And also because if something's more dangerous to driving, then a lot of people will not drive in it and probably wait for the fog to pass by. So that might also be why there's a lot less accidents, because there's nobody driving through it. So, and then clear weather happens like all the time. Like the only time we get foggy weather is probably like after rain or before we get rain, or if there's complete humidity. But yeah, there's a lot of course there's a lot more accidents in the weather that happens the most, and not the one that happens the least. Another example to show how something happens more because there's a higher amount of people doing it, like it says here that more people were killed by airplanes last year than in 1910. And I'm not sure exactly what time that is, but it's saying, and trying to make people think that modern airplanes may be more dangerous than the other ones, but then again, not many people probably rode airplanes because it weren't really developed at all, so there can't be as many accidents if not as many people were riding it. And since there's so many more people riding it and so many more airplanes and being built and everything, I'm pretty sure that a lot more people would have accidents than the people that don't actually get on an airplane. Because when the airplanes were just coming into existence, I'm pretty sure that not a lot of people wanted to ride them, because it's probably really scary to ride something in the sky and you're not sure whether you'll be safe or not. So,
especially since you don't really have control over an airplane. So that would, and plus a lot of people might not have the money to ride airplanes back then.
Yeah,
and they weren't as advanced. As time goes on, things get more advanced. So those like 2-seater airplanes that they had back in 1910 wouldn't fit like a whole bunch of people as much as they do now.
Yeah, and since if it fits like not as many people, then not as many people can die in an accident or be in an accident, since there's not the